Ever been in a situation, like a scary one with the police and think like, wow, that could have been really bad, like way worse?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a question that a lot of people have asked, and it's a question that was at the heart of a really important Supreme Court case, City of Los Angeles v. Lyons.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that one. That's the one about chokeholds, right?
Exactly.
So this case, it's a landmark decision and still talked about today, especially as conversations about police accountability continue.
For sure. And it all started back in 1976 with a guy named Adolph Lyons who got stopped by the LAPD.
A routine traffic stop, right?
Well, yeah, that's what makes it so crazy.
So what happened?
Well, Lyons, he didn't resist arrest or anything like that, but the officers used a chokehold on him.
A chokehold during a traffic stop.
You got it. And it wasn't like just a quick thing either. They choked him until he passed out, and he ended up with a pretty serious injury to his larynx.
Wow. So I'm guessing that's what led to the lawsuit.
Yep, but Lyons wasn't just looking for money for his injuries.
Oh, he wanted something more.
He wanted the LAPD to stop using chokeholds completely. Like, he wanted an injunction.
Whoa. So he was trying to protect himself and others from this happening again.
Right, he saw it as dangerous and unconstitutional, and he wanted to prevent future harm, not just deal with the harm that had already been done to him.
So that's where it gets really interesting from a legal standpoint. To get an injunction, you have to prove that there's a real threat of future harm. But how do you prove you'll be a victim again, especially if the very thing you're trying to stop is what puts you at risk?
Yeah, it's like a total catch-22, and that's what makes this case so important.
So what happened? Did the court side with Lyons?
Well, no, actually. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court sided with the City of Los Angeles.
Seriously. So even though Lyons had been choked by the police, they said he couldn't stop them from doing it to someone else, or even to him again.
Pretty much. The majority argued that Lyons hadn't proven he would personally be choked again, so he didn't have standing to seek an injunction. They said the possibility of future harm was just too speculative.
So even if there's evidence of a systemic issue, like a pattern of police using chokeholds, an individual can't take legal action unless they can show they'll be the next target.
Yeah, the majority opinion written by Justice White was worried about opening the floodgates to too many lawsuits based on hypothetical situations. He thought the courts should only get involved when there's a definite threat of harm to a specific person.
That seems like a pretty high bar to clear, though. Like, how can you prove you'll be harmed again by something you're trying to stop from happening in the first place?
Well, that's just it. It's a major hurdle to addressing systemic problems, and that's why this case is so controversial.
Did anyone on the court disagree with this?
Oh, absolutely. The dissenting justices, led by Justice Marshall, had a very different take. They thought the majority was missing the forest for the trees.
So Justice Marshall thought they were focusing too much on individual harm and ignoring the bigger picture.
Exactly. He argued that Lyons' past experience with the chokehold, plus all the evidence that LAPD was using them all the time as a matter of policy, was more than enough to show a real threat.
Yeah, I can see his point. Like, if it's already happened to you and the police department doesn't seem to have any intention of changing its ways, why shouldn't you be able to do something about it?
Right. Justice Marshall thought it was unfair to make victims prove the impossible, like to prove they'll be targeted again before they could challenge a practice that was clearly dangerous.
That does seem kind of impossible, right?
Yeah, it's like asking someone to predict when lightning is going to strike them. It just doesn't make sense.
It sounds like a really high bar to clear. So the dissent was basically saying that this decision was letting BC's departments off the hook.
That was definitely a major concern. They worried that this narrow view of standing would have huge consequences, not just for people who had experienced police misconduct, but for anyone trying to use the legal system to address big systemic issues that affect lots of people.
Wow, it sounds like this case really goes way beyond just one man's experience with the police.
It really does. It raises important questions about how our legal system deals with individual rights and the need to address big systemic problems.
It's definitely something that's still relevant today.
Absolutely.
It's like if I was Lyons, I'd be saying, look, they choked me once and they're still using this chokehold policy. Like, what's to stop them from doing it again? Isn't that enough to show a risk?
You're totally getting at what Justice Marshall was arguing in his dissent. It's about looking at the bigger picture, how the police department actually operates, not getting stuck on the specifics of whether Lyons himself would be choked again.
So Marshall was pushing for a broader view of standing one that considers the context of how the police are behaving, not just focusing on one individual's potential future harm.
Exactly. He felt the court was basically ignoring the reality of the situation. Like, imagine trying to predict exactly when lightning will strike. It's impossible to know for sure, but we understand certain conditions make it more likely.
That's a great analogy. You can't say, well, I can't prove I'll be struck by lightning again, so I guess there's no need for lightning rods.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And that was Marshall's point. He argued the court was creating all these extra hurdles depending on what kind of legal remedy someone was seeking.
So he was worried this decision would impact other cases beyond police misconduct too, right?
Absolutely. He and the other dissenting justices saw this as a potential problem for anyone trying to use the courts to address systemic issues, especially marginalized communities who might not have the same resources to fight these complex legal battles. Think about challenging things like discriminatory housing practices or fighting for environmental justice.
So even though Lyons was about chokeholds, it was really about something much bigger, the ability to challenge systemic problems that affect whole groups of people.
Exactly. And that's why it's still relevant today. It gets to the core of access to justice and how we hold powerful institutions accountable.
Now, there's this legal concept, capable of repetition yet evading review. Could that have helped Lyons get the injunction?
That's an interesting thought. It usually applies to situations where the harm is temporary, like elections or pregnancy. Applying it to a case like this is tricky.
So even though chokeholds could happen again, they're not limited by a specific time frame like a pregnancy, so that doctrine wouldn't work.
Right. The court has been really careful about using that doctrine. They see it as a very specific exception, not a way to get around proving a concrete individual harm.
So the dissent was trying to make the case that because of the LAPD's history of chokeholds, the harm was, for all practical purposes, capable of repetition.
They were, but the majority didn't buy it. They saw Lyons' case as different from the kinds of situations where that doctrine usually applies.
So even though it's interesting, this capable of repetition idea wouldn't have been the magic solution in this case.
It highlights the difficulty of trying to fit a case like Lyons into existing legal frameworks that maybe weren't designed to handle systemic issues.
This case is like a legal maze. It's amazing how one question can a man who is choked by the police stop them from doing it to others can lead to such a complex legal debate.
You said it. Lyons is a perfect example of how legal concepts can clash with real-world problems. It shows the obstacles people face when trying to challenge powerful systems.
And you mentioned earlier that the Lyons decision didn't completely shut down all avenues for fighting police misconduct.
Exactly. It just forced people to get more creative with their legal strategies. We'll talk more about those approaches next.
So we've been talking about City of Los Angeles v. Lyons and how it really changed the game when it comes to challenging police practices. But before we wrap up, I'm curious if individuals have such a hard time getting an injunction like Lyons wanted. What other options are there for dealing with systemic police misconduct?
Well, one approach that's become more common is using class action lawsuits instead of just one person like Lyons trying to prove they'll be harmed again. A class action involves a whole bunch of people who've been affected by the same thing.
So it's like a group effort to show that this isn't just a one-time thing, but a pattern of behavior that needs to change.
Exactly. And by demonstrating a pattern of harm across a larger group, these class actions can sometimes get around that whole issue of proving individual harm that tripped Lyons up.
That makes sense, especially in cases involving things like racial profiling or excessive force, where you might have tons of people who've experienced similar treatment.
Absolutely. Class actions can be a powerful tool for exposing systemic bias and discrimination that you might not see as clearly when you're just looking at individual cases one by one.
It's kind of amazing how legal strategies have adapted in response to court decisions, like Lyons made it harder to get injunctions, but it seems like it also paved the way for more class action lawsuits to address the same problems.
It's a constant evolution, and another big player in all of this is the Department of Justice, or DOJ.
So how does the DOJ fit into this picture?
Well, they have the power to investigate police departments and file what are called pattern or practice lawsuits, which are a big deal because it means that even if one person can't get an injunction on their own, the DOJ can step in and potentially sue an entire police department if they find widespread misconduct.
So the DOJ can bring the big guns when you can't fight City Hall by yourself.
That's one way to put it, and they have a lot of tools at their disposal, from investigations to negotiating consent decrees to, in extreme cases, filing lawsuits to force changes within a police department.
So in a way, the Lyons case, while limiting individual action in some ways, also highlighted the need for a more systemic approach to holding police accountable.
You hit the nail on the head. The Lyons case isn't just about Adolf Lyons and what happened to him. It forces us to think bigger about how to make real change, how to build systems that protect everyone's rights, and how to ensure justice isn't out of reach for those who have been wronged.
So for our listeners out there who are thinking about tackling a systemic issue they care about, what's the big takeaway from all of this?
I'd say the main lesson is that fighting for justice can be a long and difficult process, but just because it's hard for individuals to take on big institutions alone doesn't mean there's no hope. There are other ways to make a difference, whether it's joining a class action lawsuit supporting organizations working on these issues, or pushing for policy changes. Collective action can achieve things that individual efforts often can't.
That's a powerful message. It's a reminder that even when there are setbacks, there are always ways to keep fighting for a more just world.
Absolutely. And the Lyons case is a perfect example of that. With all its complexities and lasting impact, it shows us that the fight for justice is something we do together. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it takes creativity, persistence, and finding new strategies when the old ones don't work.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today in our deep dive into City of Los Angeles v. Lyons, exploring the details, the legal arguments, the dissenting opinions, and the long-lasting effects of this decision on the fight for police accountability.
It's amazing how this case that started with one man's experience with the LAPD ended up raising fundamental questions about the power of the courts, the limitations of individual action, and the ongoing struggle for a more just society.
It's been a fascinating discussion of a case that continues to be relevant today. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.